Hey, welcome to Through the Valley, a podcast where we explore mental health and suffering from a Christian worldview. This is Cole, your host, and the title of today's episode is How Should Christians Respond to General Anxiety? So last week, we kickstarted a series on anxiety, and we looked at what is general anxiety and can true, sincere Christians struggle with it. So I'd highly encourage you, go check that out. We explored what differentiates general anxiety from normal stress or social anxiety. And we said, yes, that true, sincere Christians who are growing in Christ can go through seasons of general anxiety, which is prolonged and you can't seem to control it. But in this episode, I want to turn the question and ask, okay, if this is a reality in some Christians' lives, then how should Christians respond to it? General anxiety specifically. But first, I want to get into scripture from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and then we will tackle that question. Listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus here is showing us his heart for us, that he himself is gentle and lowly, that he calls us and beckons us as our shepherd to come to him and find our rest, to lay down our busyness, to lay down our labor, to lay down our weariness and find rest for our souls in him, to learn from him, to take his yoke, to take his way of life upon us and to find rest. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And this is certainly good news for those who are struggling with general anxiety. Okay, so how should Christians respond to general anxiety? If you are a Christian and you feel like you are going through a season of general anxiety, of prolonged worry or restlessness that you can't seem to control, you don't know what it may even be about, how should we respond? First, I want to answer this from a moral angle, an ethical angle. In other words, is it okay in the whole first place for Christians to feel this type of anxiety? If last week we looked at, can Christians feel this anxiety, and we answered yes, then I want to say, okay, well, is it even okay that we feel this in the first place? If we are dealing with a prolonged season of anxiety, is that okay? Or is it what some may call sinful that we deal with anxiety in this way? And that's a deep question. First, I want to say that no one ever wants to struggle with anxiety in this way. No one wakes up and says, I really just want to worry or be restless every day over things that I don't really know about. So most of us, when we begin to feel a sense of general anxiety, which I've described last episode, we don't understand why we're feeling it and we don't want to experience it. And like I said last episode, most of us have physiological symptoms like chest pains or not being able to sleep or being irritable that may be causes of underlying anxiety that we didn't even know about in the first place. And so many people go to the doctor about chest pain or tension, thinking that they may have a heart attack or some brain issue, but really they're just experiencing general anxiety. So is it okay for Christians to feel this way? And I think this is a nuanced answer. I do think that there is a point where our anxiety or worry takes on sinful patterns where we are not trusting God and we are not trusting him with our future, with the current day, and where we don't run to him with our anxiety. But on its basis, I don't think that if we are experiencing this type of anxiety that it's necessarily wrong. Rather, I think that our anxiety, our general anxiety, is trying to tell us something. So that's the first question I would ask you, is if you're experiencing general anxiety, what is it trying to tell you? Because there is a reason that you are feeling restless. There is a reason that you seem to be worrying about something in your life. In essence, it is a spiritual problem because there are things which we are not trusting God with and we are worrying about that really he does have in control. And I know that in a season of anxiety, we know those truths. We know that God is in control. We know that he has tomorrow in our hands, but we don't feel that in the moment. We feel just this restlessness that we can't explain. So first I want to ask you, what is that anxiety trying to tell you? If you were to sit down and really think and just really debrief with yourself and think about your life, your schedule, what you're doing, what you're hoping in, when you think about something, why does it make you anxious? I really believe that you can get to what may be a root of that anxiety. For instance, let's say that you just have a constant worry over finances. Like you're always checking the bank account and it may be obsessive in a sense and you're worried. You're worried about, am I going to have enough money tomorrow? Is this going to pay the bills? And there's this constant worry and anxiety that comes up when the subject of your personal finances come up. What may be the root there? Now, I don't want to speak it into anybody's financial situation because, you know, it may be difficult and hard, and that can certainly cause stress and anxiety. But at its root, it may be that we do not trust God, or perhaps we have a love of money that is causing us to be obsessive or worry over the number in our bank account. That's one example. I'm not going to say that's the reason for everyone's worry over their finances, but it could be. It could be that there's a fear of failure to provide. You feel like you're not able to, or you don't know if this is going to pay the bills, and you got to have money to eat, sleep, and keep the lights on, so to speak. Another example, if you're restless over your kid's safety or constantly worry over what they're doing or who they're with, then what is the root there? If you were to really sit down and think, okay, why do I worry so much? Why do I have this constant anxiety over my kids? One, I think that's rooted in a love for them. You care for them. You want to protect them. But two, that can easily turn into a worry that can not seem under control. That might be a deep fear of losing them. It might be a deep fear that they're not going to do something that you would approve of. It might be a deep fear that they're just going to make a decision that would be harmful to them. And I think those fears are valid, but we have to ask ourselves, is that fear getting in the way of me trusting God with their lives, right? Because if God is in control, He knows their days. He has numbered their days from the womb to the tomb. He's numbered your days as well. He's also in control of your finances. And so in these situations, we have to sit down, take a step back, and think, okay, why do I feel this way? Why am I so worried or restless over X, Y, and Z? So what is the root of our general anxiety? Okay, but what if you don't know why you're feeling anxious? What if you just every day you go to work or you go about your normal day and you just feel restless? You feel like you are just wanting to get out of your skin. And you can't, if you sit down and think, okay, there's this in my life, there's that, but everything's going well. I don't know why I'm feeling anxious. You're just feeling restlessness or worried. If you don't know what the root may be, then you may have to really take some time to seriously reflect and think about what kind of patterns or habits have you built up, or what are things that you have learned over time about living in a way that is causing you to be anxious. This is just one example. But have you picked up somehow, whether it's from culture, whether it's from family, or whether it's just from inward pressure that you put on yourself, have you picked up a life of constant busyness where you are going 100 miles an hour, you have zero time to reflect, you have zero time with God, reflecting in His Word and reflecting in prayer, and you are just living an anxious lifestyle? I think that that can end up causing just a general anxiety that you don't know where it came from or how it even began, but it's because you have picked up this lifestyle of anxiety. I'll share this with you, and I hope that this benefits you or maybe gives you some perspective on what I'm trying to get at here. But in the summer of 2019, I worked overseas for an organization where we hosted camps for local churches to come down to Honduras, where I worked. I worked in Honduras. And if you know anything about being a camp counselor in the summer, it's popular for kids in their college years to do this, but you don't get any sleep. And more than that, you don't get paid very much. And so you're serving for the Lord, and that's why you're there. But you don't get hardly any sleep at all. My days there would start at 5 a.m., and you got to wake up. You got to be the ones to set the camp and greet the first campers that wake up early in the morning. And then you got to stay up really late, probably to like 12 a.m. on camp weeks. And you have to attend to campers' needs. You have to make sure that the camp is all set, and you got to get ready for the next day. And so it's an exhausting schedule. 5 a.m. to 12 a.m. I mean, that's 2 a.m.s there in one day. That doesn't sound right as far as a sleep schedule. And so running on that low of sleep, this was all summer, mind you, so 2 months. And then I got home from Honduras, and there's culture shock that comes along with that, of transitioning back from overseas back to your home. And on top of that, I had just graduated, and so I didn't have the normal school schedule to go right back into. I was transitioning into a new job working for a church doing college ministry. So there was a bunch of change going on in my life. But I found that when I got back home, I began to experience just anxiety out of nowhere. I felt that I was just really tense all the time, restless, that I felt like I had to be doing something. And I started to reflect on that. It's like, why am I experiencing this? I know that there was a lot of change in my life at that time, but I really believe I picked that up over the summer, that because I was always on the go, that it's like my adrenaline was just keeping me going that summer, and I hardly got any sleep. So I took that home with me, and I didn't know how to rest. I didn't know how to be content with silence or solitude or just not having anything to do. And so I had learned those patterns of anxiety that ended up resulting in some pretty bad general anxiety later that fall, and actually a panic attack in that fall of 2019. So I share that with you to say, hey, there may be patterns in your life that you are picking up or have picked up from culture around you, maybe just the demands of your life, whether it be work or family, or maybe you are putting this pressure on yourself, whether it's to please people, to be perfect in whatever way, shape, or form, or you're trying to overcompensate in an area where you need to trust God and give up the things you can't control. So in this sense, I ask first, what is the root? But then second, if you don't know the root, what may be the patterns that you have learned over time? Okay, so what do you do if you've done all that and you still can't pinpoint anything? You're like, Cole, I think this advice is good, but yeah, there doesn't seem to be an answer. I don't know where this anxiety has come from. Is it still okay that I'm dealing with it? Or am I not trusting God with something in my life? I think those are valid questions. And I don't want to speak into your personal situation. I don't have that ability to do that over the podcast. But I do want to reassure you that if you are facing general anxiety or just a heightened season of anxiety, I really believe, first of all, that there is grace for you from our God, and that there is compassion from our Lord himself, and that he understands our frame. And if you are in Christ, then he is for you. Just because you deal with anxiety doesn't mean that you're any less of a Christian. Rather, I believe that God wants to teach us things through our anxiety. So I want to share two scriptures with you that I believe prove this point, that God is for you no matter what you face. And the first one is from Hebrews chapter 4, 15 through 16. This is who Jesus is as our great high priest, as one who intercedes on our behalf when we are weak. It says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I love this scripture. I quote it all the time to myself when I am struggling or don't feel as if I can approach God. Because let's be honest, our anxiety makes us feel as if we're not good enough, as if there is something inwardly wrong with us and in our fate that we are not trusting God. And while some of that may be true, some of it may be a lack of trust in God, sometimes we don't understand why we're feeling it and facing it. And we need to know that there is grace for us, that if you are in Christ, that he has covered you with his blood, that if he died on the cross and the tomb is empty, and that is still true, and it is, then he is not going to turn back his promise to you to never forsake you, to be with you. And then he promises us this in Hebrews 4, that he is our high priest. He intercedes for us. And how is he able to do this? How is he able to sympathize with your weakness, with your anxiety? It's because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was human in every way that we are. He was tempted, but he did not himself sin. In fact, he experienced life in a fallen world. He felt stress and agony and anxiety, The night before he went to the cross, he experienced very deep anguish and anxiety. So he is able to sympathize with us. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows that we need grace in our times of weakness. And he's available to us. We can go confidently to the throne of grace to find help and mercy in our time of need. And then the second scripture, and I've already quoted it, from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we have to cling to this, that this is Christ's character for us, that he says, come to me. He invites us to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden. Certainly, don't we in our anxiety feel as if we are heavy laden? We feel weighed down. He says, I will give you rest. I don't believe he's just talking about physical rest. He's talking about peace, a rest for our souls, that we would come to him and rest in who he is. You see, if there is no time in your schedule to take rest with Jesus, to sit down, put away the distractions, to be with him, to think about these scriptures, to meditate on them, and to think about who Jesus is for you, then certainly we will continue to feel anxious. But when we sit down and stop and think about the God of the universe who has all power in the world, yet he has drawn near to us and invites us to come to him to find rest for our souls in him, because he desires that. He desires that we find our joy and our peace in him. And this is good news. So I just want to assure you, if there doesn't seem to be an answer to your anxiety and you're wondering, is this even okay? At what point have I not trusted God with this? I want to reassure you, there is grace for you. And to come to Jesus, regardless of how you feel, no matter when, no matter what, and there is grace for you. Okay, so we've tackled the question, how should we respond morally? Is it okay for Christians to feel anxiety? And now I want to turn to how should we respond practically to general anxiety? So what do we do when we are feeling anxious? And I just want to give you six practical things that you can do when you are feeling anxious as a believer, as someone who trusts in Christ. What do we do when we feel anxious? The first, and I've already mentioned this, but I'm going to call it solitude rest. And what I mean by this is that you need to put your phone down. You need to get away from your screens, even get away from your normal routine. And you need to go out in nature. You need to go out in some place where you cannot be distracted, whether it's a place that you can just walk and be alone with the Lord, bring a journal and a pen in your Bible, and just get alone with God. Because there's just something about being in the spaces of our routine that promotes busyness for us. And I've felt this personally in my life. It's weird. When I'll give an example from the past few weekends. We did a camp retreat with our college students. And when you're doing a quiet time with the Lord, with your Bible and just in prayer out on the mountaintops of North Carolina near where I live, there is nothing like it. The peace that overwhelms me, I feel like I could just sit there and be on that mountaintop and rest and pray and thank God for what he's done. Now, I believe we can all get away at some point, and whether it's in nature, going on a trail, or just going to a park, and just putting away the phones, like don't even bring your phone with you. I would challenge you to do that. See if you can do it, and let me know if you can. To put that away and just be alone in solitude and silence with the Lord. I believe that's important for us. We need those times where we can get away from the bustle of life, modern life, and to be in God's creation with his word and with a spirit and ready to worship him and come to him as we are. So I'd encourage you to do that, solitude rest. Second, and I believe you know this, but it's physical rest. Check your sleep schedule. Are you getting adequate sleep? God made us to rest. If you feel as if you got to overwork or do various things where you're not getting good sleep, then I would really challenge you to look at your schedule, because you may be idolizing schedule or work in opposed to the natural limitations to how God has placed you as a human in a body that needs rest. God never needs rest. And so we trust him that while we sleep, he's going to work and he's going to provide in ways that we can't. But we need physical rest. And along with this comes diet and exercise. If we are temples, if God has made us as body and soul, if we are embodied souls, then we need to take care of the vessel that he's given us through diet and through exercise. That has been proven to help with anxiety, is checking your diet, your sleep, and your exercise. So that's practical there, physical rest. I would highly encourage you to take a step back and just analyze your schedule in those areas. Third, it's logistically schedule rest. I believe that you need to prioritize your schedule and build in a Sabbath, a day where you do not do the demands of work, or that you are taking time away from things that may be causing your anxiety, and that you do something where you can enjoy God's creation and enjoy the people whom God has put around you. So a schedule rest. Are you building in weekly times where you can just put it down and say, hey, I need time away, because God hasn't made us to work every single day of our lives. Remember when he gave the Israelites the command, he said, I worked 6 days to make the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh I rested. So too shall you work six days, and then on the seventh you shall have rest. So God cares about our rest. So a schedule rest. Are you building in those weekly Sabbaths? Fourth, social media rest. I already challenged you, put your phone away when you do solitude rest. But how is your social media intake? Because we live in a day and age where social media, it demands so much of us, and it's often so subtle. And before we know it, we are envious of other people. We are comparing ourselves to other people, and that can certainly make us feel anxious or depressed. And we play this upkeep game where we feel like we got to keep up with everybody's lives, when in reality, we do not have the ability nor the social capacity to do that. You weren't made to be heavily invested in 1,000 people's lives. God has put you around a sphere of influence right around you in your life whom you can invest in. So I would challenge you to take breaks from social media. The only thing I'm on right now is Facebook, and I post these podcasts and stuff on Facebook and Instagram, but I don't know. I've just been done with it. I don't want to constantly be a slave to scrolling on social media and trying to upkeep with other people's lives and play the comparison game. It's just not worth it. I've noticed for me, it's not worth it for my mental health, my anxiety. So I'll challenge you that. Social media, where are you at in that? Fifth, this is more just spiritual practices that you have to learn to do, but it's preach the gospel to yourself daily. What do I mean by that? Well, the two verses that I quoted to you, Hebrews 4 and then Matthew 11, those are great places to start. You got to preach the gospel to yourself. If you are just constantly living by what you feel is true, then you are going to fall prey to anxiety in your life. But if you are meditating and praying these scriptures that Lord Jesus, you are my high priest, you do intercede for me. And so I know I need to come to your throne right now because I need grace in my time of need. Or Jesus, help me to come to you. I need to come to you because I'm heavy laden and I need rest for my souls. But how can you know those truths, what I just prayed, without meditating and preaching the gospel to yourself daily? So great places to start are those scriptures that I just quoted to you, but also Romans 8, that if you meditate and pray over Romans 8, and to know that God is for you, that nothing can separate you from his love, you need to preach the gospel to yourself, the truths of scripture that God is for you in Christ and that he's never going to leave you. Even in our anxiety or depressions, that he is for us, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. And finally, this is the last point I'd make, the sixth point, is you may need to seek out counseling and or medication for your anxiety. It has been shown that there are medicines that can help, and combined with right practices of physical rest, diet, and exercise, that your anxiety levels generally can be reduce. Now, I do want to nuance this, and of course, I'm not making any prescriptions here, so please do not take my words as that. But sometimes counseling takes a while to figure out, so you got to be patient with the process. There are many different types of counselors and therapists. I already made an episode on this, biblical counseling versus psychiatric counseling or psychotherapy. Those are going to be two very different things. So you got to do your research, and you really got to know why you're doing it and what you're doing it for. So check out the episode on that. Should I go to counseling/therapy? And then medication. Medication is also a trial and error game. I've personally been on a few medications myself. One was terrible. I'll just be honest with that. But I was 15, 16 at the time, and my body was probably young, and I didn't really understand what was going on myself. And then as I got a bit older, into my 20s, I was on another medication for a while. One side effect for me is it made me drowsy. I'll get really drowsy in the afternoons, but it did seem to alleviate some of the symptoms of anxiety and depression I was facing. So I just want to nuance that with counseling and medication, they do have a place within all these things. And if what I've told you to do with these things of rest are not helping, then it may be prayerfully time to consider counseling or medication. Okay, so I hope that I've answered at least decently, how should we respond as Christians to general anxiety? Please, if you have any questions, drop it in the chat on Spotify or email me. I would love to hear from you. I would love to see what you're thinking and how you're processing this, and I would love to answer any questions that you have. I know that one podcast can't answer for everyone the nuances of how we each experience general anxiety, but I hope that generally this has been a helpful guide, and we'll be on the lookout for more episodes concerning anxiety. I'm looking forward to this series that we got going on anxiety, so I'd love to get feedback and suggestions for that. Until then, we'll keep going through the valley together until we get to the final mountaintop when Jesus returns. Catch you on the next episode. Thank you. Hey, if you've been enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you left a rating or a review on whatever platform you're listening to, whether that's Spotify, Apple, or Google. You can also, on Spotify, reach down to the mailbag, drop me a question, and I'll address that in a future episode. Or more generally, you can reach me at throughthevalleybook@gmail.com with comments, questions, or a story you'd like to share. Thanks again so much for the support and for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.